Tell me, how old are you now?
83.
83. And how old were you when you were drafted?
I was 18. I was drafted 3 days before my 19th birthday. I mean, in the army.
Not much of a birthday present, or was
I
it?
was married already. I had been out of high school for a little over a year, and I was married in the 27th of June in 42. And
And what year were you drafted in 42?
I was drafted in 43. And in May of 43, it was the first of May when I went in, yeah.
What went through your head, or what did you think when you were drafted at
Well,
18
I
and you're
kind of figured
married?
this, I got out of high school and I had an older brother and a younger brother, and there was nine children in our family, and I got married, and so I just went over to Huron and got on the train, and I went to Baltimore, Maryland. I had an uncle down there, and then I went over to the Aberdeen Proving Ground and got a job. And it was right after the dirty 30s and 40, there wasn't much money any place. I made more down there in a month than I would make if I'd have stayed here in a year, I had a good job and I advanced down there, and I worked there about 10 months, I guess, before I went in the service. But that was, and we had a little baby. I had a little baby when I went in the service, or we did, my wife and I. We've been married 65 years now this year. Yeah,
Congratulations.
thank you.
So how old was it, a girl or a boy, your baby?
Girl, our second child, was, I was only overseas about 4 months. He was born the day the war was over, on the 8th of May in Germany. The day the war was over in Germany. Our second child. She's out here tonight, too. She come down here for this place. She lives in Webster. She's a school teacher up there. Anyhow, she come down here tonight. She wanted to see this. But she was born the 8th day, the day the war was over. And I hadn't been in the hospital, and then I hadn't got any mail from home. And when I got a mail, the first mail I got, it was about 25 days later. It was a cablegram that I had a new daughter. And it was born the 8th of May, the day the war was over.
Where were you when you received that notice?
Oh, we was back up in France, getting ready to load on the boat to come back. Well, I don't know, it was in between where we ended up right in the edge of Czechoslovakia. I was at Plauen, Germany. It was their last big battle, and then everybody was surrendered and everything. And I was in a jeep over in Czechoslovakia as a forward observer looking for groups of soldiers, and they were surrendered, but they were still war on, so we was out. I was a forward observer with our infantry company, and I was over there looking, and they come over our radio that the war was over.
What went through your head when you heard on the radio the war was over?
Oh, yeah. I get to go home.
Would you say that's the happiest day of your life?
Oh, I imagine probably was, yeah. Yeah, I got pictures here in my book. Well, I left her the book over there, but when we come into New York Harbor, we come in on the biggest U.S. ship that the United States owned, the U.S. West Point, had 18,000 soldiers on there, and they're all up on the deck. We're coming into New York Harbor in the morning. And just solid people looking up. Well, lots of tears when we come into New York Harbor.
I imagine so. So tell me about your role in the war. Tell me about from the time you were drafted and sent off.
I was just a private, and I went into ordnance company down in Maryland there. But I went right back to this proving ground. I took my basic training there at Aberdeen Proving Ground. So my wife, we was living right there, just a few miles from there. So she stayed there until then. When I got out of there, then I went, they sent me out to Kansas. And so she went back, come back to South Dakota with her little girl, and she lived with my folks and her folks until I got out of the service. But anyhow, I was down to Kansas, and I had her come down there, and she come down there without the little girl, and she was down there 3 days, and we got shipped out to Tennessee maneuvers, and she couldn't go along, of course. So we went down to Tennessee and on maneuvers, and when we come in off of maneuvers, they put up the rating board, and I made a corporal. When I come in off of maneuvers, I made a corporal, which is a pretty big advancement in infantry because they had too many non-com, 5 days later, the captain called me in and he asked me if I'd like to go out on Kadri to start a new company down in Mississippi. And I'd be a staff sergeant. Well, staff sergeant, I mean, I was still getting private's pay and I got a little allowance for subsistence and that for my wife, but not very much. And so then, is that, man, I got subsistence and allowance for the family and a lot more money. And I said, yeah, you bet, I'll go down there. I went to, down to Mississippi then and helped start a new company down there. And we got it, give them the basic training, and then we went on Louisiana maneuvers. And we was down in the GI. I hated Louisiana with a passion, especially the maneuvers. The captain called me in, and he kind of liked me. And he says, if you'd like to go to officer's training school, he says, I'd recommend you and to go up to Fort Benning. And I said, well, I'd sure do anything to get out of here. But, of course, when you got through with the maneuvers, we were going over right overseas. I knew that, you know. So I went down to Fort Benning, and it was, they called them 90-day wonders, the officers that went through there then in the wartime, you know. They needed officers real bad everywhere. Anyhow, it was a 120-day course. There was 200 of us started in that school I was in, and 85 of us graduated, but I made second lieutenant. But I got 7 days at home, come back to South Dakota, was there 7 days, and reported right to Camp Shanks, New York, and got on the boat and went overseas then. And I got there and I just got off of training school, but they had replacements. It was all replacements. I was a replacement. But I had enlisted in place replacements. And you were assigned 200 of them, like a company. Each officer just got out of school. We was in charge of 200 men on that boat.
How did that feel, knowing that you were in charge of 200 lives?
Well, it was, I never spent such much. We were on the boat 14 days because we was on a little French boat and we were in convoy and zigzagging back and forth to dodge submarines and stuff, you know. And so we was on the water 14 days. But these guys, they had came out of the Air Corps and places, you know, and they'd never dreamed they'd be in the infantry, going over there for replacements for the infantry. And that infantry was the one that really needed the people to replace them, you know. And here, I was in charge of 200 of these guys. A lot of them were sergeants, and they knew they were going to get busted when they got over and got an infantry company. And they weren't very happy, and they weren't very happy about going over here. I was in charge of 200 of them guys. And it was quite a problem. I mean, we had a long time on the boat. I was so glad to turn them guys over to Bonn, Germany, to replacement depot, I tell you. I never ever wanted to see one of them again. But, yeah.
Can you tell me some of your favorites or the memories that stand out to you the most while you were there?
I'll tell you a funny incident. When the war was over, about the third or fourth day, we were at Sliez, Germany, a little bitty town. And the captain called me in, and I was a junior officer in the company because I was the last one to come in as a replacement. And I replaced an officer that stepped on a landmine. But anyhow, he called me in, and he says, you got to get these men out of here. He says, they're driving me crazy. He says, take them out for a walk or hike or anyway, take lunch with you or whatever you want to do, but take them out of here. And man, I didn't know what to do with them. I got my platoon sergeant, which was a great help to me because when I went over there and went in as replacement officer, these guys had been in combat for over a year. And here I just come in at 20 years old. And you don't tell guys it's been in combat a year or something what to do, you know. I got my platoon sergeant, and he kind of took me under his wing, and he helped me. And then the executive officer, he was really a swell guy, and he kind of took me. I was a junior officer, helped me a lot. So I got along pretty good in the company, real good, in fact. And anyhow, I went to my platoon sergeant and said, what are we going to do with these guys? Captain, I just want to get them out of here. He said, well, let's take them fishing. I said, we don't even own a fishing pole. Oh, there's lots of ways to fish, he says. So I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we'll make a couple of dip nets. So we got some tent poles and put them together and got them tight. And took these fatigue jackets, punched holes in them so the water would go through them, and tied them on there like in a nest, you know. Checked out two cases of grenades. We walked down to the river. It was about a mile and a half. I don't remember. It might have been the Moselle, but I don't remember what river it was. Now we went down to this river. And you drop one of them grenades in the water. You could stand right on the bank and drop it in. I never knew that. The shrapnel won't come up out of the water. And you drop a grenade in. When that exploded, it stunned the fish. They'd float up to the top. We'd dip them up. And I don't even remember what kind of fish it was. But in about an hour and a half, we had enough fish. When we cleaned them for the whole company for supper, there was 160 guys in the company. We took them back up there and had them all cleaned, took them back in there. Had fresh fish. After K rations and stuff like that, fresh fish was some treat, you know. probably the funniest incident that ever happened to me. Fishing with grenades, I don't think you can get away with it here now. Oh, I had some other experiences too. We got in, come back to Le Havre, France, and we was waiting to come back home, you know. And so anybody that hadn't been in Paris, the division had come into France to start with. A lot of them had been into Paris, you know. And anybody that hadn't been into Paris, go in for days past, you can see the sights in Paris. There was 22 guys signed up. But there wasn't any officer, no. Well, there was a few sergeants signed up, but no officers signed up. So the captain comes in, well, you're the junior officer, you're going to have to go with them guys in the Paris. So I was appointed, and I went into Paris with them guys. Took a tour, went to Eiffel Tower and some space places like that. And we had a little free time, and of course, I got some booze in a little bit. When it got time to load back on the truck to come home, I couldn't find about half of them. I think I was ever Madame Mazelle's apartment in Paris looking for them guys. It was quite an experience. I was married and in there with them guys, and yeah, they hadn't been in town for a long time.
Did being over there change you at all? Did you come back different, or?
Oh, I don't know. It still bothers me a little bit when I see war pictures and stuff like that, you know. And I
get, how does it make you feel?
I'm at the age now when I get emotional about things too, you know. And so I this war now, I watch TV once in a while and even shed tears over it because I can't believe that we're in this kind of a war. Because at least when we were fighting there, we knew who our enemy was, you know. And I don't think these people here half the time we're fighting over, they don't know who their enemy is. They don't even know why they could be talking to him, you know. He had a bomb in his pocket or something. We didn't have that problem there. It's a different kind of a war, I think. But it did me a lot of good, I think. I went back up to Aberdeen. I could have went back to my old job, and I decided I wanted to come back here and be a farmer. So I come back, and my dad helped me quite a little. I rented a farm right next to him and used some of his machinery and got some cattle and stuff. I retired in 1986. I had a heart attack.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I owned 2,440 acres of land and had it paid for. And had 200 cows. And I was pretty proud of what I did after I come home. I didn't owe anybody anything. So it was an experience. I mean, he had to work hard. Me and my wife always worked hard on the farm. She helped me a lot. We had four children. We lost a boy when he was 14 in a tractor accident. I've got 18 great-grandchildren, 10 grandchildren. Just had a new great-grandchild here last week.
Congratulations.
And we're great-great-grandparents. We got family, and I got my sister-in-law, my boy's wife is in here tonight, and my two daughters, and one of my daughter's husband, they live right out here, my daughter Melody. Ellen lives at Webster. She come down from Webster to be here tonight. I got two of my children and my daughter-in-law are out here tonight. And I got quite a little family. We always grew up around here. There's quite a few of us around here. I got two brothers and two sisters yet. Or one brother and two sisters. There's a lot yet. Yeah, I don't know. I could tell you lots of stories about the war. I've probably talked long enough.